Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is June 5th, 2017. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones 2 and we are both of McFlugel.com. Show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/42. So I'm going to hand it right over to Slappy and he's going to introduce our topic for tonight.
Thank you, Rollo, and thank you everyone for joining us today. Today, we're going to talk about the war on drugs a little bit. Last week, Ross Ulbricht was appealing his life sentence for the crime of running a website on the dark web that sold drugs on the website. We've talked about Ross in the past. His website was a Silk Road. If you're not familiar with him, listen to our episode or just Google the Silk Road. It's a pretty sad case where he's doing a life sentence. And his appeal of that sentence was rejected last week. So as it stands, he'll still be in jail for life for running a website. Pretty sad and pretty serious how government takes the war on drugs, even though it's consensual, voluntary exchange. But there was a local story that ties into the war on drugs and shows you how serious and how wrong and evil the war on drugs is there's a guy by the name of Dan Selby who was arrested for failure to appear in court. He was supposed to appear in court because he had possession of drug paraphernalia. So they got him. Put him in the holding cell. We're transferring him to prison. He told the guy who was driving the van that he didn't feel good. He was going to throw up. The driver stopped, let him out, and that's when he took off running. The whole town was on lockdown. There was helicopters flying everywhere, police all over the place looking for this guy. They didn't find him. But it's another sad story and another victim in the war on drugs. And before I go into what I really want to say on it, let's pass it over to Rollo and see what your thoughts are.
So, yeah, it's when you sent me this article today and I read it and my reaction was all that for this. I mean, it was a some sort of drug charge that he was supposed to appear in court for and he didn't. And the police say he was, you know, has no history of violence. And then they're going off and going on a manhunt for him. They shut down all the schools in the county.
Schools were closed.
It's insane. And so, and they also made the comment like he could be dangerous if you see him. And so that's why they had everything on lockdown and shelter in place. And that's why I texted you and responded back. It's like, really? What are they saying that he's a danger to anyone in the area for? And he said, well, now he's, you know, might get desperate and do what he's got to do. I said, yeah, because they made it that way.
Yeah, they turned it into that. That's why the war on drugs is making us less safe. This is one example of all the tentacles that come out of the war on drugs that make us less safe.
I mean, they really have to go on a man like, well, first of all, for the drug, and I'm reading the comments on this article. Apparently what some of these commenters are claiming is that it was, he was caught with some drug paraphernalia and drug residue. So it was like a personal drug use.
Right. That's what I heard as well. That's what I heard.
And so you really need to like arrest a guy. He doesn't show up. And like, if that's what you're doing, if for something that minor, if you need to have someone in court and arrest them if they don't show up.
I mean, that minor, like that to me sounds like you tap someone on the shoulder and that guy called it assault. I mean, at least technically it's assault, but there is no crime here.
Right.
I wouldn't even call it minor. It's really nothing. Nothing right here. This guy does not have a violent history. He's never been arrested before. He never hurt anybody that I am aware of or that they reported on. He has no record. And now his life is forever changed. And now he's on the run. And now he knows when he gets caught, they're gonna bring the ass kicking with him. So now you put they close the schools so that in their mind, they literally put us in danger. Now, of course, what the to play devil's advocate, Rallo, and I'll ask this to you. Well, why didn't he just stay in custody and have his day in court?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, he's just made a lot worse for himself. And he did. I mean,
yeah, you shouldn't run from the cops is what people will say.
Right. And only in the sense that you're trying to minimize the harm that comes to you, because like you said, they're going to be bringing it when they finally get him, especially because he, quote unquote, assaulted the deputy when he got away. He pushed him out of the way, and he's being charged with that now too, assault.
Assault, yeah. Now, one thing that I want to clear up, when I say they're going to, you know, bring a hurting with them, I'm not necessarily, now it could happen that they find him and beat him, but what I really mean is that the state's going to lay the hammer on him. So, you know, they may arrest him peacefully somewhere, but he's not going to get a month in prison for this. They're going to really throw the book at him. And that's what I mean by really bring it. I don't want people to just jump on us and say, oh, you say the cops always beat him. Look, they took him personal or took him safely. That's not what I'm getting at. I mean, maybe they will, but I did want to clear that up. I'm saying the state is going to lay everything they can on this guy now, all over possibly using having drug paraphernalia in his possession. So the question is why. See, what you were just saying before I cut you off is why did he run? Why is it okay to run from the cops?
Well, because he didn't do anything actually wrong. So they have no just authority to place him under arrest. It's like if someone knocked on my door and said, you know, I don't like the flowers that you have in your front garden, you need to get rid of them. I'm going to laugh in his face. And if he tries to arrest me over that, I'm not going to let him arrest me for it.
What if he's bigger than you and has a gun and he tied you up?
Right. Well, if it comes to, you know, him just being able to outmuscle me or do harm to me if I don't do it, then yeah, maybe I'll pull the plants up, maybe just to avoid physical harm. This is all happening in a vacuum, of course, without, you know, assuming I can just call the police or something to make the point. So I think it's basically the same kind of situation.
And if that person did that, though, no one would say that he was right because someone has more firepower or is bigger than you or can tie your hands together. That doesn't make them right. And so it would not be wrong in the situation you presented for you to run. It might be stupid. That guy might be bigger and faster than you, and if you run, he might really beat you. But it doesn't make it wrong. Just like if someone was mugging you, you know, jumping you, trying to take your wallet, it's probably smart just to give it to him. It doesn't mean that guy's right, though, and it doesn't mean you're wrong for running, although he may really hurt you if you do.
Right. It's and I think a lot of people get confused with they assume that ethics and the law are the same, which they clearly are not. You could just look at any history of law and find many, many, many laws that were considered normal for the time and okay, but then years later got overturned and people think it's absolutely, you know, atrocious that those laws existed. And there's plenty of laws today that we're going to look back years from now and say, wow, that was really horrible that we did that to people, like locking people in cages because they have the wrong kind of plant that they're putting in their body. So I think that's where people like to say, like, oh, well, we broke the law, and, you know, you break the law, you got to pay the consequences, which, okay, I get it. If it's if you're doing something that's against the law, you're risking getting caught and having to then put up with what the state's going to do to you. But again, like what we're saying, it doesn't make it okay that the state's arresting you. It's just kind of we're assuming that you can't change the law. You know, right now it's, you know, Dan Selby can't change the law right now. If he could, then I'm sure he would have, so he didn't have to be put in this situation right now where he does have this kind of moral dilemma of, I didn't do anything wrong, therefore I am justified in running away, as opposed to you know, getting locked up for the stupid thing that he allegedly did. So, it's a shame that so many people are put in these predicaments, because it is the situation like you described, the mugger, giving him, you give the mugger your wallet, because it's better to have to cancel your credit cards and losing however much cash you have in your wallet versus, you know, getting a bullet in your head or a knife jammed in your stomach. So,
yeah, should you just listen? Probably. It's probably the smart thing to do, but it doesn't mean you're wrong to fight it or to run. Just maybe not that smart. But another interesting thing with the drug war, at least to me, is we see the trend. Colorado, Washington, I think DC, there's probably a couple other states who have legalized marijuana or decriminalized or what. I guess they actually legalized it in those states. We see the trend. We know it's coming. In 10 years, there's not too many people who would say, no, we're going to reverse this and it'll be illegal everywhere. Pretty much everyone kind of concedes that pot's going to be legal everywhere in the next, I don't know, we'll say 10 years in the future. So one day the switch is going to be turned. And let's just say the law passes today and starting on July 1st, pot is now legal. They literally overnight stop arresting these people, and now it would be wrong for them to arrest the people. However, what if for some crazy reason, not that this would ever happen, but let's just say the law changed and said, now we're no longer going to consider rape to be a crime. Would it still be wrong to prevent rape?
Right.
Obviously not. So there's something deeper there, that using a plant, using a drug, using anything on yourself, if you're not harming someone else or violating anyone else's rights, you really shouldn't prevent it. Yeah, if you think that marijuana is really bad for your health or you don't want to do it, you can talk to people, you know, especially if it's your brother or friend and you really are worried about them smoking marijuana all the time. Go ahead, talk to them, try to talk them out of it. But I think it would be hard to justify using violence against that guy to stop.
Right. It's like alcohol right now. You know, I'm sure we all know someone who has issues with alcohol. And it's a terrible thing, addiction to alcohol and all those problems that come with it. But I don't think anyone would say that you could use violence against an alcoholic.
In fact, I will say this, and I have heard people say this. They'll be talking about so-and-so. Hey, John Doe over there, he's got a drinking problem, man. He needs to get help. What they never say is, man, that John Doe over there, he's got a drinking problem. He needs to go to jail. We need to lock him up. Like, right. People don't even think that way when it comes to alcohol. They always say he needs help.
Right, because their brains aren't clouded and muddled up by the war on drugs and the legal aspects of it. But you make a good point, too, about, you know, one day marijuana and a lot of other drugs are going to be legal, and suddenly it's, you know, one, it's okay to have it and use it, and two, it would be wrong to stop them. It's absurd. Even if you look at it, you know, another way, say, just using an absurd case, like tomorrow, it's going to be illegal to wear a blue shirt on Tuesdays. Like, so now people are now suddenly criminals, or next week it's suddenly illegal to own a tractor.
A 1971 tractor.
Exactly.
Yeah, because their emissions are not good.
Right. And some people use leaded gasoline in them.
Right.
So it's just, it's crazy to think that you can just flip a switch and now it's wrong to do something when it wasn't before, and you can, you know, the state can use violence against you.
Right. And so if you're listening to this and you are in favor of drugs being illegal, or I should say not in favor of drug legalization, you like things the way they are because you think drugs are bad for people and they ruin your life, you need to think about, even just from a practical standpoint, one, is it working? I think the obvious answer is no. But two, look at all the other crime, because I often argue that without all these laws and without possibly without the police, we would be much safer and there would be much less crime, because these laws create more crime. Like this story illustrates perfectly. This guy was arrested for drug paraphernalia. They don't even say he was high at the time. He just had drug paraphernalia on him, and there was some evidence that that drug paraphernalia was used before. So maybe he had a bowl with some resin in it. They don't even know necessarily that he smoked it. He could have been holding it for a friend. Well, now he gets arrested, and maybe it was just an opportunity to get out. He wasn't thinking clearly. He can't believe his life has just changed like this over something so trivial. He took off running, whatever it is. But once you run, now you can't turn around and say, I'm just kidding. Because now they're going to have, I'm sure there's a crime for attempted escape or assault on an officer. Like they say, he pushed the guy and took off running. Now, I'd love to see, this is just a side note, I'd love to see this officer. You couldn't catch a guy with handcuffs on? Wow. That had to be one of those officers who, we see them all the time, but not in the best physical shape.
Well, he did get pushed.
So, he did. I mean, that's true.
That comes with your stunt. You get pretty stunned if someone pushes you.
True. But anyway, I got off track, and that.
At least they didn't shoot. I mean, this is terrible.
That's true.
To say, but
they didn't shoot.
Honestly, at least they didn't shoot him.
And you know what? It may. I don't know what the rules of engagement for police officers are, but I wouldn't be shocked if he would have been justified by law to shoot him there for an escaped prisoner. That wouldn't shock me. I don't know that that's true or not, but he didn't. So, hey, give him credit there. I guess he
and you just didn't. Called him fat.
Did I? I said I just wanted. Well, I didn't say I want to see him. Wow. Well, it, also it could be the case that there were other prisoners in the van and didn't want to leave them all.
Sure. There's there's a lot of empty holes in the story for in all directions that like how they're not really saying much about what his previous charges were because it's going to show that it's absurd that they're going. And that's the other thing. Is the war on drugs worth it? It's what you were talking about just a minute ago. Is it worth it? And I think this is a microcosm for the war on drugs. How much money they're spending on, they shut down most of the county. They canceled school for kids. They have all the police officers out there on a manhunt for this guy.
Yeah. There were helicopters in the area. Now, I don't know how much it costs to fly a helicopter. However, my son was injured about a year ago, and he was in a urgent care. We took him there to get x-rays, and they had to get him to a hospital in Center City. It's about 20 miles away or so. They considered using a helicopter to do it, but talked about how expensive that would be, and the decision was we can wait for an ambulance because he's not dying. I mean, we have to get him there. And so they were saying it was going to be more than $15,000 to fly him by helicopter to Center City. There are helicopters out all day. I mean, I don't know how much it costs to stay. I don't know how much it costs to operate a helicopter. But based on my story, it's not cheap. And so they put a lot of resources out toward getting this guy all over drug paraphernalia.
And two, when you have a county on Children Place, I mean, people can't go about their business. So you're harming businesses too.
Sure.
Because what does it matter if to the average person, not even the average person, what does it matter to someone who is not connected to this case, who works for the government, as in the court, the courts and the cops? What
Nobody
would
cares.
Anyone care about a guy who's using whatever drugs and hasn't harmed anyone in the past, as far as we know? Why would anyone care? It doesn't matter, because we all know people who use drugs. Every single person knows someone who uses illegal drugs, and I don't think anyone's jumping on the phone to call the police to rat them out, because they realize it doesn't matter.
Right. And so you see what the situation did all over this drug arrest. They now put the entire town or county in jeopardy, because now you have a guy on the loose who now, you know, he knows if he gets caught, he's going away for a long time. So now he might be desperate. Now he might do something really stupid. And so that's one way it creates potentially a more crime, but definitely a more dangerous situation. But this isn't the only way. You look at in inner cities where we would say there's more violent crime, where I think the statistics show there's more violent crime, almost all of it can be traced back to the war on drugs, because they can't get protection for their business. So they have to do it themselves. They can't call for help. There is no security force that can help them other than themselves.
Absolutely, because if you get stiffed on a drug deal, you can't report it to your local Better Business Bureau.
Right. It's just like
police and say, hey, I just got stole. You know, someone stole from me.
It always reminds me of the beginning of Goodfellas, where Henry Hill's talking and he says, the one thing the FBI never realizes, the mafia is just the FBI for people who can't go to the FBI.
Right.
So by having these rules and by prohibiting certain things, you're creating a black market, which also creates the black market for security, which can't operate, like you said, can't go to the Better Business Bureau. There's not going to be a Yelp review on, the Crips protection.
But then there was. The Silk Road provided a nonviolent means to settle disputes and for, you know, protection for people buying and selling and making sure that you're getting what you're buying and all this other stuff. It took so much of the need for violence out of it. So what does the state do?
Shut
it down and arrest the guy who came up with it. Meanwhile, there's 80 more. I don't know the number. But there's a lot of Silk Road, newer Silk Roads out there. So they didn't
stop anything. They're just putting this guy in jail for life.
Right. They got for their
literally
their
little, running a website.
They got their little prize.
And by the way,
we shut down Silk Road and got the guy that started it. But they won't mention that
the FBI agents who were also arrested who investigated them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they won't mention that practically speaking, it actually made it worse for them, because the newer Silk Roads now understand what they're up against, and now they're going to react to it and make sure that they take the steps that they need to not get caught and to make it more difficult to shut them down. So
bottom line is, end the war on drugs. And if you're involved in the war on drugs, please stop. You're making it worse. And you're not doing a service to these people. You're not stopping drugs. You can get drugs in prison. You can't even keep them out of prison. How are you going to keep them off the streets? You're not doing anything other than ruining lives. Please stop. And you're making us all less safe, because now we have to worry about drug dealers with guns who are paranoid that someone's going to arrest them.
Absolutely.
So, anything to add on that?
No, I think we covered a lot of stuff. It's kind of it was a good jumping off point, the Dan Selby story. And I guess I'll end what I have to say by saying that I hope that they never catch him. I'm sure they will. Yeah. But I hope that they just never are even able to catch him.
Well, they called his dad.
Yeah, that's a shame. And I wonder, PR speculation on my part, but I wonder if he's basically a hostage.
Well, it's just
to try to pull him out.
I mean, could you imagine the mafia operating that way? Someone owes the money, he takes off, so they kidnap the guy's dad. I could see that happening.
Right.
They operate very similarly. I don't know. Maybe he was involved. We don't know. They didn't say, but he is arrested.
I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if he, you know, was waiting with a car. I don't know how he would have coordinated that, but.
No idea. But the fact that, well, I mean, we don't know what he did, but let's assume he was the driver. Hopefully he doesn't give his son up. If he was willing to do that for him, I can't imagine he's going to be willing to give him up. So I hope, Dan, that you are okay. And, you don't have to do hard time for something you did that was not wrong.
And hopefully he's not put in a situation where he fuels the need to use violence, or that a situation happens where violence.
Yeah, hopefully it ends
peacefully. On anyone happens.
It all ends peacefully, hopefully, if it ends.
So. And that's just the shame of this whole war on drugs, because these situations are what happen. So, all right, Slappy. So, do you have a free market success story?
Sure, I can come up with a free market story for the week. So, I was talking to a coworker last week. It was his son's birthday party's coming up, and they wanted to hire a agency that has superheroes come. They dress up in costumes, and kids love it. We've all seen them before. So he's calling a couple different places and asking questions, finding out who to hire, asking what characters they have, what they're doing. And then he says, do your people get clearance to prove that they're, you know, don't have a record with children? They're not sexual predators, or, you know, are they cleared to work with kids? Because schools have to, teachers have to do that, coaches have to do that. And the agency replied with, none of our employees would ever do harm to children. None have ever been caught. But that was the end of it. They didn't provide any documentation or prove it in any way. So my coworker decided to go with someone else. So what does that have to do with the free market? Sure, you're thinking, well, these are FBI searches, or these are government backgrounds. But what it shows is there's a need in the market that people don't want child rapers, child molesters around their children. And they will do whatever. They won't allow strangers around their kids if they don't know they're safe. So it shows there's a need in the market for this. I think that's not a rare occurrence. I think if you talk to just about anyone, especially if they have kids, they would agree that we need that. So why wouldn't we figure out a way to do that in the market? In this case, that agency lost out on potential business because they don't do these checks or prove that their guys have a good reputation. So that's my little story. Just that people get worried about the government regulating everything, but the consumers can regulate it, because no one will hire anyone if they're afraid there's going to be a child rapist around their kids, or a child molester, or someone who has a checkered past. So that's my little story.
But could the market do a better job than, like, how the public schools or kids are always 100% completely safe from getting abused?
Yeah, public school teachers never do anything with kids, do they?
I don't think there's ever been a case at all where that has happened.
Probably not. Probably not. No, just about every day I look on Philly.com, there's another teacher who did something. So the state's not doing a good job of it anyway. Maybe we should look to other options.
Exactly. And that's why we're against the central plan. It's not that we woke up one morning and said, hey, we hate the government and everything they do. It comes down to, it's more principled than that. It's this idea that the market offers a lot of possible solutions. So it's a good kind of petri dish for the best ideas to get discovered. But when you have central planning, one solution gets chosen, and you can't, there's no way of knowing whether or not that was actually the best option or not. So it's very impractical to use the state as a mechanism for solving the world's problems, because they're unable to solve the economic calculation problem.
Yeah, it's just not possible. It doesn't matter how much they care. You can't. Right. So anyway, anything else to add?
No, just again, the show notes page is mcflugel.com/42. We'll link to the 6abc.com article about this Dan Selby case and situation. And also, please check out the links to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as subscribe on YouTube, follow us on Twitter, and like us on Facebook. And also, while you're there, why don't you give us your email address and subscribe to us? We have a weekly newsletter where we kind of give a rundown of what what went on the website in last week. That comes out Wednesdays. And of course, I forgot this past Wednesday. I've had a kind of a very busy week last week and in the weekend. So I was going to do it late, but then I figured, yeah, let me just send it out Wednesday.
Yeah.
And not do one for the week. I hope our subscribers forgive us. But the good thing there is that you'll have a lot more stuff on this newsletter coming Wednesday. So, and another announcement I wanted to say is we have a new writer for the website. If she listens to this, she's going to feel very special that I can't even remember the name that she picked. Check out.
Know you're prepared for the podcast too.
Yeah, she gave her. She uses her. Three letter.
An A in it.
Yeah, but and we'll link to the article. But she wrote about the right versus the left. So very good stuff. Very good commentary on how they're basically two sides of the same coin, as she puts it. The brothers from
another mother.
Kind of the same. Yeah. So we're happy to have her along, and next time I won't forget her name that she has. It's funny because I was thinking about it today, and I was like, oh, I gotta, make sure I remember this, and I'm drawing an absolute blank, and I don't want to say the wrong thing. I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but Not that I, would look like any more of an idiot than I am right
already
now.
Already do, so. Yeah.
Yep.
Might as well keep going.
Keep used to that.
Yeah, stumble through this thing. Keep going.
And also, so you don't say, why don't you just look it up? Well, everything's all jumbled up on my computer right now with being logged out and everything. So if you can just continue to, tread water a little bit here as my internet is very slowly reload. ABG.
Hey.
So
there it is.
Welcome ABG along to the McFlugel family. Look forward to more stuff from her.
So this officially makes it the longest sign off we've had to date.
Yeah. Because I couldn't remember our writer's name.
And in fairness, it was three letters. So,
It wasn't a snappy pseudonym like Slappy and I have, but.
Yeah. But no, check her out. She's really good and wrote a really good article on the left and right, Brothers from Another Mother. So swing over to McFlugel and we will catch you next week.
All right. Peace. Thanks for listening.